Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, this Football Tuesday edition. And ladies, enjoy a night out with the Cleveland Browns and get a behind-the-scenes look inside the team. Expand your football knowledge at Ladies Chalk Talk with an evening full of special appearances, lectures, cocktails, appetizers, giveaways, and more on Monday, November 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Sign up today for Ladies Chalk Talk by visiting clevelandbrowns.com or calling 440-891-5050. And we bring in the quarterback. He's a regular on this show, the one and only Bernie Kosar. Bernie, you've had an extra day to kind of enjoy this victory Monday, now Tuesday.
Yeah, and it feels good just to get a win like that. You know, I think I'm just thawing out from the game. And, you know, for the people who are listening to who weren't at the game, I played a game in Buffalo in 1986. And, again, I hate going back, almost three decades to say, oh, when I played.
I was there with you, but go ahead.
Okay, I know you were, and that's why I'm bringing it up. You know, when you play a game and it's that cold, like icy, sleety rain,
yeah,
and the wind is 30, 40, 25 miles an hour.
It looked awful from the press box, but keep going.
Well, I was on the field because Mr. Haslam there suggested if I want to go out on the field, and I'm trying to act macho. So, of course I do. But you go out there, and when you get wet, and these guys and these players, in 1989, played the Vikings in a overtime game where it was a minus 25 with the wind chill factor. And it's colder when you get wet and you have that icy rain like that and that wind conditions in the mid-30s. And it was just impressive to see the way the guys kind of manned up to it and handled themselves. You know, these guys, it was 7-6. It wasn't aesthetically pretty to watch the game. Offensively, it's something that, from a statistical standpoint, when you, as a player, a quarterback, a running back,
sure,
a receiver, you want to throw up when you see your stats. But at the end of the day, just winning kind of takes care of all of those issues.
Right.
And to kudos and compliments go out to Dick Turan, the defense, and those guys to, figure out Philip Rivers and Norv Turner and that offense and shut them down. Because to score like that and kind of shut them down like that, I was joking with some people. Jimmy Johnson had this quote: somehow, some way, doesn't matter, somehow, some way, but somehow, some way, get and figure out a way to win, and we did.
Right. And I want to ask you about that defensive scheme by Jerron, but before we do that, I want to talk about the offense. As you said, it's the kind of game that is you puke at the stats that you see, the stat sheets, when you're a quarterback, when you're thinking about what this offense is designed to be, which is explosive plays through the air primarily. But this was a day that Trent Richardson owned for the offense and had his best career day to date. So if you could just tell me how important you think that is for this kid to go from 1 week against the Colts where his ribs were clearly bothering him, and there's no way, we know this, there's no way that his ribs miraculously healed completely in the course of a week, but he went through another game, and this time he was in charge. He wasn't tentative, he's making things happen. What does that say to you, Bernie, about him?
I'm probably not the most biased person to ask this question because I'm all in on the Trent Richardson bandwagon. When it's cold like that, when it's rainy like that, when it's miserable like that, I knew from my broken ankle and some of the other broken bones I used to have, broken ribs, which also I had, on those type days, they hurt even more. This kid's intensity, this kid's will to win, this kid's will to play good football, I am really, really am impressed with. And he did some phenomenal things. Just scoring on that first drive like he did when probably four guys should have tackled him before he even got to the second level to get into the end zone was impressive. And I don't want to just say it on Trent, because I see that mindset on so many of the guys. You know, being blessed or being trusted, or people having the trust in me to be around and be in the locker room and be with the guys before the game, and to see their level of commitment and intensity towards wanting this game, and then just being focused on just this game, just figuring out how am I going to win today. And you saw it in their eyes, and it was imperative that guys blocked out the weather. You didn't see four sweatshirts, two sets of gloves, all the different types of warm things you could put on guys to go out and play. Guys were out there just thinking about the game, their plays, their assignment, the Bill Belichick line, just do your job. How am I going to do my job so I can help our team win? And it was very imperative that they had that mindset given the given conditions that we had there Sunday afternoon.
Bernie Kosar joining us as usual here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, you brought up Dick Geron's name earlier in that defensive scheme, and it was so clear that Phillip Rivers was befuddled. He really didn't know what he was seeing, or thought he was maybe seeing one thing and another would show up in coverage. And Dick Geron did such a great job with that, and not only in coverage, but also the way the defensive the secondary was set up in run support, and TJ Ward, the game that he had. I know you look at games always as the quarterback from behind that line of scrimmage and can see things that are happening on defense. What were some of the observations and some of the things that impressed you about Geron's scheme?
Well, first, you know, I spent like 7-8 straight days in Cleveland, and so many people were coming up to me and complimenting me on how I announce games, how I predict plays, how I predict coverages. And it was incredibly complimentary, and I was very humbled by how nice everybody was at making some of those statements. And after the game, actually about third quarter of the game, I was kind of chuckling to myself, saying, God, thank God I'm not announcing this game, because I would be so wrong. And I came down, me and Coach Geron came down after the game together, and we're in the elevator, and we're talking, and he's so intense, and he's so into the game and into what happened. So he was being incredibly nice to me, but he had other things on his mind. And then I said, you know, Coach, you know, I pride myself on predicting coverages, understanding coverages, pre-reading coverages. And you did something today that even confused me, but more so than confusing me, completely confused Norv Turner and Phillip Rivers. And he was giving, in the fourth quarter, a two-deep look, a soft zone look, a look that says, okay, I'm the quarterback. Okay, thank you, God. I'm going to have my checkdowns available. I'm going to have my outlet throws. I'm going to have my ability to, if my original throw's not there, I'm going to have the ability to check it down to my back, to my tight end, which, you know, they have Matthews, they have Antonio Gates. They have some good weapons that you could hit in that 3 to 8 yard range that they can maybe run for another 5 to 10 yards, that makes that a 10 to 15 yard run, pass play. And I'm looking at that. he's done such a masterful job of disguising coverages that soft cover two, that soft cover four,
right,
which are zone defenses where you have underneath throws at your will, him knowing that without Vincent Jackson, who's now in Tampa Bay, and the receivers having trouble, the wind being a terrible factor, that even Meacham, who dropped a cupcake touchdown right in his chest, that throwing the ball down the field was a tough thing. And at the last second, post-snap, post the center getting the ball to Phillip Rivers, he made this cover two look, this cover four look, turn into rush, pressure, five-man rush, man tight coverage, which takes away the underneath check down throws. And those last seven, eight snaps of the game, he played that probably five times.
Right.
And to his credit, he didn't do it every time, because then Norv would have figured it out. And it just stifled the drive. And why we, on fourth down and eight or fourth down and ten, their deflected ball, and Phillip Rivers is thinking check down, and the check down's not there. And I just had to say it to him. And then all of a sudden he goes from, I don't want to say he's blowing me off, but not focused. But then the monster smile that went on his face, because very rarely could coaches like that talk at that level of detail.
Oh, sure.
Where people really appreciate the chess match approach to the game.
It was a master. And it was a masterpiece.
I'm not trying to, just give compliments for compliments' sake. It was a masterpiece of brilliant veteran coach, a guy who's played in the league, who's coached in the league forever. It just shows you the importance of experience. It shows you the importance of intelligence.
Right.
And then it shows the importance of, in game conditions, knowing how to make adjustments. And all of those came into play. And, again, Coach Shurmur, with the pressure that's been on him, the players, but, God, Dick Geron did just a phenomenal job.
Bernie, just to quickly kind of look ahead here, because the Ravens game is coming up, and this is two wins, obviously, in the last three. It's two wins back-to-back at home, and really the only way that – and all this – praise that we have for the plan on defense, for Trent Richardson's running, on and on, and for just the team battling through those conditions, is going to matter a lot less if it's not sustained. And that is a Ravens team coming to town that has had the Browns number for a while here. So how do you see this maybe translating into a success against the team that the Browns pushed to the brink when these teams last met?
Well, the Ravens have changed since we've seen them. Ray Lewis, they're fantastic. Defensive back is out. They're off a bye week. And a lot is said about the bye week. Even in Philadelphia, who they were 13-0 coming off a bye week,
right,
looked incredibly lethargic this past week. It's what's beautiful about the NFL. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell how you're going to come off it. But we can't control that.
Yeah.
The thing we can control is who we are. And, again, I know we're running short on time and our show and all that, but it's a beautiful thing. When Coach Shurmur said, hey, I'll see you Wednesday, you guys got a couple days off, and the guys want to come to work today. They're in Berea right now looking at this film. They want to get better. They know they don't want to rest on their laurels.
Yep.
They know they want to win this game. It's just a really impressive thing to see for a guy like myself, like yourself, who adores football, probably more so than we should. But it's just something that's really impressive to see.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Bernie, we will catch up again with you next week, and we look forward to talking with you after this Ravens game.
Sounds good.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar joining us as usual right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up. Going to answer your questions, comment on your comments in the Ask Vic segment here on ESPN 850 WKNR.